This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Listen up, KMP Show fans. John here, letting you know about the exciting bracket challenge we're putting on for this year's NCAA March Madness tournament with a grand prize of a $100 Amazon gift card. That's right, $100 just for you. The specifics are discussed in greater detail in this episode, but for right now, go to poolhost.com and register. Then join the basketball tournament group with the ID KPTBOD. That's KPTBOD. The password is KPTBOD. KPTBOD 2016 is the password. KPTBOD is the group name. So enter for your chance to win a $100 gift card at poolhost.com right now. This show is powered by you. That's right, you. The lovely people buying their wares through the voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon portal. The beautiful, strong, hopefully moderately wealthy and cocksure people that bookmark voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon to do their shopping through the click-through link. You all achieve just a little bit more superstardom every time you buy something and help out the show. Just go to voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. We thank you. That's voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. Amazon, we thank you for doing that. Welcome, everybody, to the KMP Show, episode number 13, lucky 13 on the show. This is decidedly an unlucky episode because I finally got off my ass and decided to add some sound drops to my board that I've been wanting to add for some time, and I've just been lazy and I didn't want to do it. And of course, today chooses to be an incredibly windy day, and the wind buffeting the walls of my office or my studio. They get picked up by my microphone at my podcasting and auditioning center. That's where I do a lot of the first blush auditions for voiceover jobs that get sent my way. And I do have some acoustical treatment in the studio at large, but it's not perfect. It's not, you know, I'm not spray gluing like 4-inch or Owens Corning sound insulation to the wall all over the place. And it, as such, you know, the microphone picks up a few things, and I could noise gate, but then it, you know, then everything cuts out. And I was going to add the drops, and I added them, and they're funny, and they're ready to be played. But the sound buffeting from the incredible amount of wind just absolutely would kill, I think, the show, especially with the stuff I apply in post. And that would make everything sound like absolute dog crap. And as any listener to the KMP show knows, any longtime listener, and thank you everybody that's been sharing the show with friends, family, and coworkers, just tell them to check out the KMP show on iTunes or go to kandpshow.com. That's kandpshow.com. As longtime listeners of the show know, I'm a big fan of audio quality. I think we are, just despite being a younger show, a very young show, early on in our life cycle, I think we have some of the top audio quality out there. But it sounded like crap. And so I decided, hey, you know, I'm a professional voice actor or commercial voiceover artist. I've got a sound booth where I do my actual work. Why don't I do the show from in there? But while I am doing it on my very expensive and very nice microphone, it's the sad part is I don't have access to my drops. I don't. Just the ability to input them into to get them to the PC where I record, it just isn't here. But you know, hey, we'll see the sound drops later. Hopefully, when they're not gale force winds outside, rocking my windows and coming through and overpowering the microphone. But welcome to the KMP show. Episode number 13. Again, thank you, everybody, for sharing the show. Everybody, for going to voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. It is a great help to all of us. If you bookmark that click-through link and everything you buy, we get a little bit of cut of it. So go to voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. Thank you to everybody, again, that's been sharing the show. We say it every week, and you guys have been sharing it, and I hope that you continue to do so, and thank you very much for doing that. Tell everybody that about the show, the KMP show. You know, some funnies. I had a great idea on Twitter. for a tagline for the show. Some funnies and halfway decent sports talk. I think that's probably the best that we can hope for the KMP show. Not to be the best, not to be number one, not to be Bill Simmons, the Bill Simmons podcast, or the Tony Kornheiser show, or, you know, any of the top sports guys that you see on, you know, the iTunes topping the charts in the sports category. We don't want to hope for that. I think that's too much. That'd be setting our sights a little bit too high. But you know what? I think it would be a good idea for us to, if we consoled ourselves to have some funny moments and halfway decent sports talk. And I think if we build ourselves as that, we don't want to sell you a bill of goods. We don't want to sell you a lie. We don't want to sell you on, hey, we're going to be the next best thing. We're going to be the next meh thing. We're going to be kind of, all right, yeah, they're kind of okay. You know, they talk and they're kind of funny and they say some things. Some of it falls flat, of course, but, you know, some of the things they say, pretty funny. And then, you know, when they talk sports eventually, it's kind of okay. You know, not groundbreaking stuff. We're not paving the way, but when they get to talking sports, it's, you know, every once in a while there's a good thought rolling around in their head. I think so the tagline for the KMP show, getting back to my tweet, you can follow me at John's Voices, and you can follow the show at KANDP show. That's at KMP show on Twitter. My thought was the KMP show, some funnies and halfway decent sports talk. I think we can put that on a t-shirt, right? The KMP show logo and under it in quotes, some funnies and halfway decent sports talk. Somebody get on that and Spreadshirt. We'll start selling some goddamn t-shirts around here. I want swag. I want all the swag. I want to start selling koozies. I want to start selling those bottle openers that everybody put on their key rings in the early 2000s, early to mid 2000s for some reason. Remember that? Wasn't that a thing for a while? The bottle openers that everybody had on their keychain. Do people still do that? Oh, God, I remember. Now I'm remembering the tour de force across college campuses in America in the mid-2000s was the sandal with a beer opener on the bottom, with a bottle opener. It wasn't one of those things where it's like, hey, let me show you how to open a bottle in this weird way with like a lighter, and if you use it as a lever and blah, 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 you can open a bottle. No, it was an actual, like the metal thing with that little tooth on it that was put into the bottom of a flip-flop. I have no idea why. I have no idea who thought it was a good idea, and apparently it was a good idea because idiots everywhere were buying them and showing them off on college campuses. Who sat in a boardroom and was like, all right, here's what's going to save this company, guys. Here's what we're going to do. We make sandals, okay? And the sandal market is overwrought. Everybody's making sandals now. You can go to Old Navy and buy a 12-pack of them for $4.99. All right? We're not going to take over the sandal game with our brand new leather thong, okay? That's not what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to make the same shitty quasi-faux leather sandal, but we're going to put a bottle opener on the bottom of it. Because our market research indicates that one thing that idiot white college kids love to do is take off their fucking shoe to open a bottle of beer. That's exactly what I think America wants right now. And they were right. But in the early mid-2000s, everybody had like a bottle opener on their keychain. And I thought, I say the same thing whenever I go to Benny's, like a liquor store, or, you know, Benny's Beverage Depot is a chain out here in Chicago. And I go and they have this thing where they always ask you, like, do you want a Benny's card? If you go to any chain liquor store, Malloy's, Benny's, I'm trying to think of other ones, not knockoff liquor stores, not where you're like, OK, I got to get in and get out because I don't want to be part of a robbery. If you go to chain liquor stores, you know, usually they sell cigars and et cetera. They'll always ask you if you want a card. If you like, do you want a like a Benny's credit card? And I'm like, I always make this joke and I have yet to get a laugh out of anybody that works there. But I'm like, no, I don't think I want a credit card at a liquor store. That's indicative of a problem that I don't want to admit I have. Because if you are at the liquor store so often that you have a rewards card, that you have a frequent shopper like rewards pack, you have a problem. And I thought the same thing when in the mid-2000s, when everybody had bottle openers on their keychains. It's like, how much beer are you drinking? Okay, and keep in mind, this was craft brews were just starting up. So not every, and root beer and all that crazy shit that Rich enjoys. not everybody was nobody was drinking that much beer. Nobody ever had the problem of, oh crap, I find myself with a beer. Oh my God, I found this beer. Look, oh shit, I have a beer. What do? Oh crap, I can't open it. Damn it, I can't open this beer. How do I open this beer? I wish I could open this beer, but I can't. Nobody ever had that problem, but everybody thought it was a good idea, and they had the different ones. They had the circle one that you had to try a bunch of different ways to figure out how it worked because nobody understood it. You pass it around like apes around the monolith with this thing. It was the circle, about the size of a half dollar, I want to say, and it had like a hole in the middle, and you had to try to figure out a way to. You had to like fit it over the top, and only one side worked as the bottle opener. And it was like Schrodinger's bottle opener, you know, like, or a USB where you always put the USB in the wrong way. No matter what way you try to put fit a USB into a USB port, it is always facing the wrong way. Always. No matter what you do, no matter which side, I'm convinced of this, every single time you try to put a USB into a USB port, you're putting it in the wrong way. It doesn't matter. You could pick it up and flip it, just to be sure. And every single time it will be the wrong way. I have no idea why it works. And that's how this thing was. Then there was the Tommy Bahama they came out with it. It looked like a palm tree in the end. It was like a bottle opener for your shitty Coronas. So you can be like, oh, I'm on the islands drinking piss water. Yay! I'm sorry. I got a bad thing for Corona. Like, okay, I enjoy shitty beer. I can enjoy craft brew. But I'm one of those guys where it's like, you know what? Give me a Miller Lite. I like a Miller Lite. I can drink Miller Lite. I like it. It's good. It goes down easy. I can drink it throughout the night and not get too plastered. I know where I sit with it. I know how I react to it, like how much I can handle, how much I can't handle. Like when you get into the problem territory where everybody's like, dude, maintain, you're going to be good. Even for me, Corona is piss water. I remember in college, there was dollar Corona night. On Thursdays at the Clybourne. They wanted to call it the Clybourne. And I would go and drink it, but I would always puke. Always. I would always have that little response. Because something about Corona, even for somebody that can get down on some Miller Lite, which a lot of people admit is a shitty beer, I hate Corona. It tastes awful. And here's my reasoning, all right? Here's my thing. When you have to use garnish on your beer, okay, like Blue Moon, it pairs well with an orange peel or a little bit of an orange. And there's another beer out there that pairs well. I think it's Leinenkugel's. They pair well with lemons. But Corona, everybody says, whenever somebody says like, oh, I hate Corona, it tastes like shit, they're like, oh, well, you have to use a lime. Nobody drinks Corona without a lime. When you have to use garnish, otherwise your beer will taste like piss, your beer tastes like piss. That's just where I'm at. Because everybody's like, oh, well, you got to drink Corona with a lime. Then it's good. Then I'm like, then it's not a Corona. The Corona itself is shit and it's awful and I hate it. Where was I? Anyway, I said this was going to be a shorty. Now, damn it, 12 minutes in. And I'm sitting here in my booth. This was supposed to be a shorty. I was supposed to not do this for too long because the booth isn't as big, obviously, as my office. And I don't record audiobooks in here, although maybe I should make it as comfortable so I can record audiobooks. He came down the stairs and he looked longingly at the door that he had gone through as a child tens of thousands of times, in and out, in and out. He had changed. His life had progressed. But the door has always been the same. It's always been there. I know, that's more narration than audiobook reading. Anyway, this segment is brought to you by SeatGeek, baby. Baseball season is coming up, so go to SeatGeek, voiceofwrestling.com/SeatGeek to get your tickets. SeatGeek enables fans to quickly and easily discover the best deals for sports, concert, and theater events. The company's interactive stadium apps, deal score, and comparison shopping experience provide fans with the buying intelligence needed to find the best prices from trusted ticket markets and purchase tickets seamlessly. Use deal score and SeatGeek's intuitive comparison shopping by visiting voiceofwrestling.com/SeatGeek today. That's voiceofwrestling.com/SeatGeek. /SeatGeek. I actually use SeatGeek. I checked it out the other day. I went to voiceofwrestling.com/SeatGeek. I checked when the White Sox were playing, and Rich and myself may be headed to the south side of Chicago, U.S. Cellular Field, to watch the Astros play. Believe they're in. They come to town in May. They play. They're in town for a 2-game set against the White Sox. So Rich and I may be heading out there, and we'll use SeatGeek to buy tickets to go watch the White Sox get absolutely trounced by a very, very, very young Astros team, captained, or well, I don't know if he's actually the captain, but led by Correa. Carlos Correa. He's so good. I can't wait to see. This would be a perfect time for a drop that I don't have because of the goddamn wind. This is the first. Is this the first time in the history of podcasting that a show has been changed due to wind? Right? You hear that? Game canceled due to wind. This is blah, 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 due to wind. The podcast had to change because of wind. It's like it's really windy outside. I don't think you understand. I don't want anybody to think I'm bullshitting. It really is windy outside. Like very, very, very windy. Oh, crap. I forgot to do a read for our NCAA tournament. Damn it. I should have put that at the beginning of the show. Maybe I'll record something and then throw it at the front. Yeah, I'll probably do that. Anyway, voiceofwrestling.com/SeatGeek. Now, here's the deal. I teased it at the beginning of the show. Actually, I didn't, but I'm going to go back and record something and then put it at the beginning, and you won't know unless I tell you, like I'm doing now, that I recorded it earlier or after the show, and I totally forgot to put it into the read at the beginning of the show. The Proppers, as they're called in the business. The KMP show is partnering with the Brothers of Destruction podcast to put on an NCAA tournament bracket. Here's how you enter. You go to poolhost.com. That's poolhost.com, poolhost.com, and sign up at poolhost.com. Now, once you're signed in and all good to go, go to the pool tools menu and choose join a private pool. Then choose College Basketball Challenge. Then use the pool ID. Here's the pool ID. Write this down right now. KPTBOD. KPTBOD. The password for our bracket challenge is KPTBOD2016. KPTBOD2016. So register at poolhost.com. Join a private group. The ID is KPTBOD. The password is KPDBOD2016. Now, why would you do that? You're asking yourself, man, that's a lot of work. Here's why. The grand prize for this bracket challenge is a $100 Amazon gift card courtesy of the Brothers of Destruction podcast. You can check them out. I will tweet out at John's Voices. Follow me on Twitter and you can check out, you can follow them. I'll get all the info out there. They are also at tbodpodcast.wordpress.com. That's tbodpodcast.wordpress.com. The Brothers of Destruction podcast. They have provided or got us a nice little prize here. So join the bracket challenge at poolhost.com, KPTBOD. And the password KPTBOD2016 on poolhost.com. And the bracket challenge winner will get a $100 Amazon gift card. How's that? Free and clear, baby! $100 Amazon gift card for you. All for you, baby. Free and clear, you win it. Now, here's how you win. The scoring is going to be a bit different. Anybody can do, any old podcast can do just a standard bracket challenge, like, oh, pick the winners and the closest one to the perfect bracket wins. No. The KMP show isn't going to go in on that shit. Here's what we love upsets. We love the underdog. Rich and I, whenever we play sports video games, we spend, so much time culling through the draft picks, the available draftees, the free agents, the trades. We want to find the emerald. We want to find the gem through all the river of mud that comes through every single season that you simulate so that you can get to the free agent market and do all that stuff and the Rule 5 draft and all that crap. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to pick winners based on seed. Here's how the scoring works. Scoring is going to be a little different than your usual bracket challenge. Scoring is going to incentivize picking lower seeds to advance. Wins in all rounds are only worth the number of the seed you pick to correctly win. For example, if I pick a number one seed to win the tournament and they do, I will get 6 points. Okay? That means they have to win 6 games and win the tournament, and they are a number one seed, so 1 times 6 is 6. I get 6 points. However, if I pick a 12 seed to reach the Sweet 16, and they do, that would result in 24 points because they are a 12 seed and they won 2 games to get to the Sweet 16. 12 times 2 equals 24. And the reason we're doing this is because it will change the way it, trust me, when you go through a bracket, it will change the way you look at the matchups. It'll change the way that you look at the seeding. You go, okay, well, you know, yeah, you can pick favorites. You know, a lot of people do that, and that gets you pretty far. A lot of bettors will tell you that if you can afford the spins of the wheel, betting favorites will, in the long run, do pretty well for you. Maybe not as the odd long shot win, but betting favorites is usually the way you want to go if you want a steady performance from your betting. But when you start scoring it this way, when you start looking at matchups, you go, oh man, you know, I really would like that. Let's see, how does it break down? I would really like that 11 seed to beat up on that 2 seed because, man, that would be 11 points. And, the seeding challenge or the way we score all this will ensure that if this team upsets, you don't want to go crazy and pick nothing but upsets because then you may not win anything. But you'll start looking at those closer matchups and you'll start looking at those, if this seed upsets here and then this upset happens in this division and they get to here, okay, well, then you've got a 12 seed taking off 5. You know, man, what are they going to do there? You know, and it's a really fun time. It's really fun to go through the bracket, and it changes the way you look at it completely. So go to poolhost.com, register the bracket ID. The pool ID is KPTBOD, and the password is KPTBOD2016. And the winner gets free and clear, baby. $100 gift card just for you. $100. All you got to do is pick some winners. It'll be a fun time. And you can check out the Brothers of Destruction podcast at tbodpodcast.wordpress.com. All right, let's get to some talk here. Just some quick stuff again, because in the sound booth and spending an extended amount of time here can be challenging. I love Bryce Harper. I want to say that now. I love Bryce Harper. I was probably wrong about him. Bryce Harper, I forget what year it was. Bryce Harper appeared as a 17-year-old high school student on the cover of ESPN, the magazine, or maybe it was Sports Illustrated. It was one of those. Bryce Harper appeared. He was in his high school uniform, and he had, you know, the stupid eye black. Yeah, I think he had the eye black patches on, and then he had like John 3:16 or something written on him. And I was like, oh, great. Here's the phenom. They're calling him a phenom. I'm like, you know, I get this douchebag out of here. Nope, wrong. Bryce Harper, really good. And I thought he would be, you know, there were murmurs coming up. When he was coming up through the professional ranks, there were people that came away from meeting and playing with Bryce Harper and said, yeah, he's good, but he's like a total douchebag. Like, ask Jonathan Papelbon. Jonathan Papelbon would probably say the same thing, which is why he tried to choke Bryce Harper for some reason, because he's a douche and he's bad. Papelbon, I'm talking about, not Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, good, very good. Bryce Harper had some interesting things to say about the current state of baseball, and it's, I'll say this, it's watchability, I think, is kind of what he's talking about. Baseball is really having a problem with the younger generation, specifically or particularly minorities, and getting minorities interested in the game. A lot of inner city kids that would otherwise take up baseball, or a lot of them are starting to play basketball instead. Instead, not just like, oh yeah, baseball and basketball. No, they want to play basketball because they want to be like LeBron, or they want to be like Carmelo Anthony, or maybe even Kristaps Porzingis. I don't know. Maybe they're Kristaps fans. You know, everybody loves King Kristaps. But baseball is losing a lot of its youth base to other sports, and some of the worry is that it's because baseball isn't fun to watch. Anyway, this is from Yahoo. This is by Israel Fair, posted to sports.yahoo.com. Make no mistake about it, Bryce Harper is fed up with baseball's unwritten rules. And emboldened by a season where he was unanimously awarded the National League MVP, the Washington Nationals star is ready to unleash on those restraints like he does on a fastball left up over the middle of the plate. Oh, God, I love sports metaphors when people are writing about sports. That's not lazy writing at all. Just come on. Listen, Israel, love you, baby. Thank you for bringing this work to me, but can you just cool it with the sports metaphors in the sports writing? Okay, you're already writing about sports. You don't need to double down with some sports metaphors, you know, embedded in a sports story. You don't need to do that. It seems not lazy. I guess lazy is the wrong word. Cheesy. Let's call it cheesy, huh? Anyway, in a lengthy profile written by ESPN, the magazine's Tim Keown, I think that's how it's said. I don't know. Anyway, Harper takes on the code that keeps players from showing their emotions. This is Bryce Harper talking. Quote, baseball's tired. It's a tired sport because you can't express yourself. You can't do what people in other sports do. I'm not saying baseball is, you know, boring or anything like that, but it's the excitement of the young guys who are coming into the game now who have flair. It's the Matt Harvey or Jacob deGrom or Manny Machado or Jacques Peterson or Andrew McCutchen or Yasiel Puig. There's so many guys in the game now who are so much fun. Jose Fernandez is a great example. Jose Fernandez will strike you out and stare you down into the dugout and pump his fist. And if you hit a homer and pimp it, he doesn't care because you got him. That's part of the game. It's not the old feeling, hurrah, if you pip a homer, I'm going to hit you right in the teeth. No, if a guy pimps a homer for a game-winning shot, I mean, sorry. If a guy pumps his fist at me on the mound, I'm going to go, yeah, you got me. Good for you. Hopefully I get you next time. That's what makes the game fun. You want kids to play the game, right? What are kids playing these days? Football, basketball. Look at those players. Steph Curry, LeBron James. It's exciting to see those players in those sports. Cam Newton. I love the way Cam goes about it. He smiles, he laughs, it's that flair, the dramatic. And this is from a guy, how old is Bryce Harper? He's got to be pretty, oh God, it's just the booth, it's not conducive to putting on a podcast. It's great for recording radio and TV spots, not so good for a podcast where you may have to look things up on the fly. Bryce Harper is 23. So for a 23-year-old kid who's, my God, he's so good. Oh, my God, he was so good in 2015. Look at it. Please, don't pause the show. Look at it. Let's stare in awe. I want you to go to Google, open up whatever browser you use, type in Bryce Harper baseball reference, go to baseball reference right now, and look at Bryce Harper's 2015 campaign. As a 22-year-old. There are guys coming into the league that are 22 years old that are being drafted and playing high A ball, and they're still 4 or 5 years away from the major leagues. This kid is 22 years old, and in 2015, he played in 153 games, 654 plate appearances. He batted .330 batting average, a .460 OBP. He slugged .649. That's what he did. His OPS was 1.109. His OPS plus was 195. Oh my God, Bryce Harper. He had 42 home runs. Bryce, oh my God, I love you. You're so good. He is going to make a whole lot of money. What has he made? Is he still on a... Yeah, he made $5 million last year. He made $5 million last year. What is Bryce Harper's contract? All right, I'm derailing the show, goddammit, but Bryce Harper, let's see, what do you got? What do you got for me, baby? Cots Baseball Contracts, also a great resource, now under the Baseball Prospectus umbrella. We will go to the NL East, we will click on the Washington Nationals, and we go down, I don't care about Mike Rizzo, I don't care about Dusty Baker, oh God, Dusty Baker. Max Scherzer's making a lot of money, Jason Worth making way too much money, but that deal's only two years more. Let's see, where's Bryce Harper? Let's just do a little control F here. Bryce Harper, 2 years, $7.5 million, he signed it in 2015. Or 2014, yeah, he's making $2.5 million in 2015, he's making $5 million this year. Bryce Harper's making $5 million this year. Imagine that. Can you imagine that? A guy, if somebody told you, all right, there's this guy, he's 22 years old, he had 42 home runs, batted 330, 460 OBP, 649 slugging, 195 OPS plus, and his total offensive WAR for this season, one season, was 8.9 wins above replacement just by his bat alone, you would say, oh man, that's a $300 million contract. That's A-Rod type money. That's Giancarlo Stanton type money, right? And then you say, well, he's making $5 million. And I think I was overcome by this feeling when Rich and I were playing MLB The Show the other day. Rich stopped by. We were playing some of the show. And we were doing a franchise. And I realized that MLB teams have a whole lot of control over players. Like, a lot. They have the control over the first 6 years of their professional career. 6 years of control. And there are three arbitration years. The structure is such in the MLB that no matter how good you are, no matter what you do, the teams control you and they have the right of first refusal of you for 6 whole years, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. They can force you into arbitration, and there's nothing you can do. I mean, you'll win arbitration if you're that good, and if you want a lot more money, you can arb, and then you're a free agent. But I was struck by the fact that, holy crap, there's a whole lot of control that MLB teams have over their players. Imagine if in the NFL, you had NFL teams had control. And here's the thing. It's not just contractual control. It's not just for how long the contract runs. The contract can run out. A guy's rookie deal can run out, but he can still be tied to the team for arbitration. Imagine if that happened in the NFL or the NBA, where it's like, yeah, your contract is up, but you're still tied to this team because of the collective bargaining agreement. You know, Rich says it all the time, and it is true that the NFL Players Association just does awful things for their representatives or for their representation. Their constituents, they don't do anything. That collective bargaining agreement, like, yeah, okay, oh, they can't hit in practice, but contracts aren't guaranteed at all. The salary cap not going up a lot. So the NFLPA isn't a very strong union, but my God, the MLB Players Association is totally okay with teams having exclusive control over the first 6 years of a player's professional career. The first 6 years, they're like, yep. So you come into the league, you're 22 years old. If you come out of college, you get drafted. A team has you until you're 28. A lot of people think, a lot of statisticians think, you've already peaked. You've already hit your peak. You are on the downslope, more than likely, of your career and thus your earning power. So the MLB Players Association, from this perspective at least, giving the NFLPA a run for its money, because a guy like Bryce Harper, who's putting up 460 OBP and a 649 slugging across 654 plate appearances, and he's making $5 million. And there's nothing he can do about it. And he's probably going to do little but get better. There's no reason to think that Bryce Harper's going to get worse and the Nationals still have control of him for at least the next 2 or 3 years. It's incredible. So Bryce Harper, good. And getting back to the point, Bryce Harper, from a 23-year-old, to have this view is impressed with his maturity, his ability to look around and say, you know what? It's kind of shitty that there are these stupid unwritten rules that you can't flip your bat or have fun. Because watch Jose Fernandez pitch. It's fun to watch him pitch. Watch guys like Yasiel Puig when he hits a home run. Watch all these guys when they are doing well, like Cam Newton. They are young, they are good, and they are doing big things for you. And it's fun. I always come back to this. It's fun for me to watch people have fun. It's fun for me to watch Cam Newton have fun on a football field. I can respect if a guy doesn't want to do that, but you shouldn't be forced into not doing that. Because if you want to have fun, it's fun to watch people have fun. And these stupid unwritten baseball rules about, oh, you don't admire a home run, or you don't flip your bat after you sock a baseball 450 damn feet. You can't flip your bat, goddammit, because guys like Goose Gossage are going to say this. Here's what Goose Gossage had to say about Jose Bautista, a prolific bat flipper guy. When he gets into one and he just flips that bat, it's like an art. It's an art. If you can watch Korean baseball, there's a lot of bat flipping going on in there. But this is Goose Gossage to just the complete inverse of Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, young, good, handsome, I guess, and moderately wealthy. Goose Gossage, old, drunk, fat, bad. Bad now. He's pretty good when he was playing, I guess. Here's Goose on Jose Bautista. Bautista is a fucking disgrace to the game, Gossage told ESPN. He's embarrassing to all the Latin players, whoever played before him, throwing his bat and acting like a fool, like all those guys in Toronto. Cespedes, same thing. So Goose Gossage really upset at Jose Bautista for not being, a good model for other Latin players? Why does Jose Bautista, first of all, Goose, baby, why does Jose Bautista have to be a model for other Latin players? Why can't Jose Bautista just be Jose Bautista? And why are you so mad about bat flipping? What the fuck, dude? I have absolutely no idea where this anger comes from. I can empathize with a pitcher. If, you know, Jose Bautista rocks one to win the game and he's admiring it and he's showboating and he's doing cartwheels around the baseball path, who cares? I can understand a pitcher being a little bit upset, because I think at its core, people being upset about bat flipping and admiring and, quote, showboating, I think at its core, that's an issue of domination and not effeminization, but more like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly how to put it, but I think I'm struggling to find a word for it. But I think it's more that, like, you are dominated by this person. You know, somebody rocks a home run off of you late in a game or in a high leverage situation, and it's you know, everybody's going nuts and everybody's excited, and, you know, it's happening in the player's home stadium and everybody's going crazy. In that moment, in that singular moment, you, the pitcher, are being dominated. And not to go into, you know, oh, well, these guys are all alphas and they blah, 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 blah. But when somebody holds dominion over you, when somebody is just better than you at something and there's nothing you can do about it, it is a stressful situation. It is. We do have this fight or flight response where it's like, I really don't like that feeling. Like if you're playing a game against somebody and they're just kicking your ass, if you're playing a video game, Call of Duty, whatever, or The Division, Tom Clancy's The Division. I'm going to go play that in a bit. If somebody's just kicking your ass, it's one, it sucks because you're losing, but two, it sucks because they seemingly have this power over you, and they're denying you, your own ability to do anything, your own domain. They are holding sway over you as a person, and it is this weird, odd feeling. And I think in the moment, like when a pitcher gives up a home run or a power hitter gets struck out in a tight situation, you know, runners on base, et cetera, and that blows the game, I think in that situation, the response from people, like the pitchers that yell for some reason, those guys are more acting from, they say after the game, like, oh, unwritten rules, because they don't want to admit it. But I think it has more to do with them being dominated in the moment, and they are having more of an anger response to it. They are angry that they are being dominated. It's not about bat flipping. They couldn't care less, probably. It's about just being dominated, and they don't like it. And then you add in all the things of, at every level they play baseball, they were the best, and now here comes this guy that's probably better than them, and in the moment, they're kicking their ass and dominating them, and it's and they don't like it. And it's, let's see, what's her name? Ronda Rousey talked about it. Ronda Rousey talked about it when she got knocked out by Holly Holm. When afterwards, Ronda Rousey gave an interview. In one of her first interviews after being beat by Holly, she said, I after the fight, I had feel. She said she had thoughts of suicide, and she had these racing thoughts and these I think they're called intrusive thoughts about suicide and about death and about you know, she got almost depressed in a way, and I think that is fallout from something as carnal, as primal as fighting, and somebody just came in and kicked your ass because you're Ronda Rousey and you've been dominating people and you've been dominating a sport, and everybody was looking ahead already to your next fight. Holly Holm was just kind of all right, we'll see who can Ronda fight next, who will be an actual challenge, and here comes this person, they kick your ass. And you have that fight or flight response, you have that anger response, and then it turns into depression, intrusive thoughts, and racing thoughts, etc. And I think in the moment, I want to say that the anger about bat flipping, quote, showboating, all that stuff, it's about being dominated. It's a primal response. But then afterwards in the post-game show, you can't articulate it. It's pretty hard to articulate it. I'm having trouble doing it now. And, you know, I don't think anybody's ever accused professional athletes of being one of the smartest demographics of humans. And they wrap it up, instead of trying to explore that thought, they wrap it up in unwritten rules. You shouldn't do that. Well, why shouldn't you do that? Because treat the game the right way. Well, what the fuck does that mean, treat the game the right way? Well, blah, 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 humina, 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 humina. Goose Gossage went on to say, after being mad at Jose Bautista for not being a role model to Latin players for some reason, he had some thoughts about nerds in baseball. Quote, I'll tell you what has happened. These guys played rotisserie baseball. All right, hold on. Let me get into this. Is how I imagine Goose Gossage sounds when he's given this. I'll tell you what has happened. These guys played rotisserie baseball at Harvard or wherever the fuck they went, and they thought they figured the fucking game out. They don't know shit. A bunch of fucking nerds ruining the game. You can't slide into second base. You can't take out the fucking catcher because Buster Posey was in the wrong position, and they're going to change all the rules. You can't pitch inside anymore. I'd like to knock some of these fuckers on their ass and see how they would do against pitchers in the old days. Ryan Braun is a fucking steroid user. He gets a standing ovation on opening day in Milwaukee. How do you explain that to your kid after throwing people under the bus and lying through his fucking teeth? They don't have anyone passing the fucking torch to these people. Goose Gossage is very angry, and for some reason a rant on nerds in baseball, some of them went to Harvard, but a lot of them went to like more bigger math schools like Yale, Stony Brook, Dartmouth, etc. Gone are the days of accountants being the big brains in the MLB room. Like this isn't 2004 where everybody's like, oh shit, Moneyball, let's hire accountants. No, these guys have math degrees, not accounting degrees they're not actuaries or anything like that. These are mathematicians now that are running baseball prospectus and coming up with all these stats and doing these projections and stuff. These are guys that can explain the twin prime conjecture to you and know what it means or why it's important and number theory and all that shit. These are guys that understand all that, and they're just like, oh crap, I can make a lot of money predicting baseball because we show it has worked. Like this Goose Gossage, this is an article straight out of, you know, outside of the irreverent cursing and kind of weird, I don't even know if it's racism towards Jose Bautista, but this is an article straight out of 2004 from an old Vanguard sports writer who doesn't like Billy Bean and Moneyball and all the play that's getting. Like, oh, this Moneyball sucks. Fucking bullshit, man. You have Barry Zito and all those guys. You have those big three, and then you tell me what won, OBP or those guys. And it's like, well, why can't it be both? You got to watch a guy play. You can't just look at his fucking stat sheet, you fucking nerd. Like, all that was really missing from this Goose Gossage rant was a quip about guys being in their mom's basement in their underwear. Like, you had it all there. Fucking Harvard, nerds, rotisserie baseball. Nobody calls it rotisserie baseball anymore, Goose. It hasn't been called that for 45 years. It's fantasy baseball. It's interesting to me because you have on the one hand, you've got one of the best players in baseball right now, Bryce Harper, and let's face it, a white guy. You've got a white guy. This old guard, play the game the right way, show respect, you know, unwritten rules. A lot of it comes from curmudgeon-y white people. Hell, Jonathan Papelbon is probably the perfect incarnation of what Bryce Harper is talking about in the guys that say, oh, play the game the right way, respect the game, etc. You've got Jonathan Papelbon, his own teammate, who's on the way to being Goose Gossage. Goose Gossage probably would have choked out Bryce Harper. And a lot of it comes from, well, white guys. And they're the ones saying, oh, play the game the right way. And it's usually directed at Latin guys like Goose Gossage and Jose Bautista, and saying, you know, you got to be a role model for Latin players. So don't flip your bat and dance around, you bunch of blah, 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 blah. And everybody's like, well, wait, that sounds kind of racist, man. And I've been waiting for a white guy to say, no, it's cool because I like it. It's fun because, I've said this before to Rich, I don't want it to be that people are like, I would rather people just be bad at articulating their feelings than actually be racist. I don't want it to be that people have brought up this bullshit about unwritten rules, et cetera, because they don't like Latin people. I don't want it to be that way. I would just much rather them be dumb and bad at articulating their thoughts and feelings. And it's good to see that Bryce Harper is just like, no, it's fun to watch, you know, Jose Fernandez when he strikes me out and he's staring at me and he beat me. You know, he's earned that. It's good to see Bryce Harper on many different levels come out and say this. And it's just interesting that it happened in the same week as Goose Gossage going on a somewhat racist and outdated tirade about nerds in sports. So again, if this was extended release, I would extend bat flipping. I like it. I think it's fun. I like watching guys like Yasiel Puig and Jose Fernandez and Jock Peterson and Manny Machado and Jacob deGrom and Matt Harvey and Bryce Harper. I like watching all of them be very, very good at their jobs and have fun while they're doing it. And bat flips are fun. Let's face it. Come on. Who doesn't like bat flips? Go to YouTube right now and type in bat flip montage or bat flip collection or something, and it is so much fun to watch guys flip bats after they hit home runs. I don't know why. I have no idea why. It's a bat, it's a tool, it's an instrument, and then they just flip it. But the interesting ways these guys find to just flip their bats in celebration after achieving one of the harder things to do in sports, hitting a home run. It's really fun to watch. And Bryce Harper, for 23 years old, having an elder statesman view that is finally somebody said it. Finally, there's a white guy, because again, a lot of Goose Gossage. Goose Gossage is the poster boy for old white curmudgeon-y baseball guys that like to yap about unwritten rules. And you kind of question, like, is Goose Gossage a racist? I don't know. But Bryce Harper finally, and a lot of the media has been able to say, well, look at all these white people saying it's racist. No, it's just stupid. It's not necessarily racist. It's just stupid. These people, Goose Gossage is stupid. Bryce Harper, not so stupid. So props to you, Bryce Harper. If you're listening to the show, thank you for listening. Be sure to share it with your buddies. You know what? Share it to Jonathan Papelbon. I'd like to smarten up Jonathan Papelbon. Paps, buddy, come on. You know, you can't be choking, Bryce. Don't do that. It's not nice to choke your teammates, especially one that's a whole lot better than you ever were at baseball. Don't do that, Bryce. Or don't do that, Jonathan Papelbon. Bryce Harper, do share the show. And you share the show with all of your friends, KANDPShow.com. Tell everybody to check out the KNP Show. This show has been brought to you by Stance. This KNP Show has been brought to you by Stance, by breathing life into something that had been previously overlooked. Stance has ignited a movement of art and self-expression that has drawn athletes, performers, and iconic cultural influencers to the Stance brand. Stance is now the official sock of the NBA and will be unveiling their first line of underwear this year. Get yourself some slick footwear and comfortable underwear at voicesofwrestling.com/stance. That's voicesofwrestling.com/stance. Thank you, everybody, for joining this episode of the KNP Show. We will be back with more episodes soon. Check out the feed, the Audio Boom feed at knpshow.com. You can also search for us on iTunes. Just search the KNP Show. You can follow the show at KNP Show on Twitter. That's at KANDP Show. And you can also follow me at John's Voices. Thank you guys for joining this episode of the KNP Show. We will check you next time. Hopefully this time with sound, or next time with sound drops. Thank you for joining. We'll catch you next time. We are out. Bye.
I want you to know it's over.
Well.
Bye.